Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing slashing your monthly utility bills.
Joel, that is right. This episode, we're going to talk about how you can make your home energy efficient. We're going to talk about ways to cut your power bill, gas, and water, those three main utilities. And I'm looking forward to diving into this one with you, man.
Yeah, and water, honestly, I think that one is one that's water rates across the country have been soaring. And especially here where we are in Atlanta, it's kind of gotten ridiculous. So even cutting your water bill, it's possible. And we're going to talk about that as well. I'm excited about it. But first, Matt, I wanted to mention, I saw this really interesting video about this musician. His name is Mike Posner. And honestly, I don't really know his music, but he's doing something fascinating. He's walking across the entire country from coast to coast. And
nice, like Forrest Gump style, right?
Exactly. Okay. Like Forrest Gump.
I was going to say, that's what that makes me think of.
Those are the next words coming out of my mouth. And he actually kind of looks like Forrest Gump did when with like kind of bushy curly hair and like the beard and stuff. But it made me think, like, he's doing something really intentional. For some reason, this was the task that he felt compelled to take on right now. And it made me think, too, of a recent listener email that we got from listener Todd. And he talked about how he ditched his Y membership in an email to us.
His YMCA membership?
Yeah, in order to walk his dog every day in this beautiful part of the country that he's in Roanoke, Virginia. And he even sent us a picture of kind of this beautiful mountain view that he gets with every walk with his dog. And
I don't know if every walk is that beautiful. I think that was a particularly beautiful sunset.
Yeah.
But that's it's like McAfee's Knob. Did you look it up? I did a little bit of research.
No, I didn't. I just saw the picture and I was like, well, that's nice. I wish I could walk to there every day.
It's a spot. It's on the Appalachian Trail. And so there's lots of thru hikers, but I guess you can just hop on there and do the hike sort of a la carte, right? Though, quick tangent, do you have any desire to hike the AT ever?
No, honestly,
really? No?
It's a little too intense for me, but I don't know, with the right...
In the back of my mind.
All right, maybe.
You want to do it with me?
We'd have to do it like sooner rather than later, though.
Before we get too old?
I don't know. I don't want to be doing it like 76 or anything like that, you know, but...
You can. There's lots of old folks that do it.
Okay.
I do consider 76 old, by the way. Sorry to offend any 76-year-old listeners out there.
Well, that impresses me all the more. People doing it at that age. Like, that's incredibly impressive. And we had a buddy who hiked the whole AT. I think it's really awesome.
Yeah.
It just, honestly, I don't feel a call to do it. But I just love that idea, too, of walking more and taking advantage of the natural beauty that's around you. To see that Todd decided to ditch a gym membership where he was walking on the treadmill or something like that in order to get outdoors. You know, I feel like that's what biking is for me. It's like, cool, that I'm getting all my cardio in on my way to work.
Right.
And at the same time, I do feel this like really amazing connection to our city, to nature, on that bike ride that I wouldn't get if I was stuck indoors doing my workout.
Yeah, man, that's great. You know, what I get out of that, I hear that, and I think what we should be doing is focusing on, you know, our lifestyle now, but just like enjoying our life right now and not getting too caught up with the goals. And so like our listener, Todd, like his goal might be to be fit, right? And to get in shape. But you don't want to let that goal of being in shape overshadow your life. And so why not do something, you know, with his dog? He's able to get out in nature, like enjoy life now. It's great to set goals, but I think sometimes when you overvalue those goals and maybe put too much weight on them, you can not enjoy the here and now. And so, yeah, maybe this is a little call to our listeners it's great to set goals, but to make sure that you're enjoying life, the here and now. And we like to do that every week, Joel, by having a beer.
A craft beer, Matthew. That's right. Yeah. So today on the show, we are drinking a Double Brute Citra and Galaxy IPA by Bear Republic Brewing Company. They're out of California. Man, they've been at it a long time, since 1995, and they were kind enough to send this beer out to us.
Yeah, this one is called Challenge Series 11, and we've never had a Brute IPA on the show before, I don't think. I think I've only had maybe two of these in my entire life, actually.
It's like a really new style.
Yeah.
There's like this new fad of trying to combine wine and beer, like these hybrid style beers, and Brute IPAs are kind of another way for them to get kind of the taste of like a champagne a little bit, that kind of dryness, I feel like, into a craft beer. And so, yeah, like there's no limit to what people are doing with craft beers right now.
Nice. Yeah, Joel, I'm excited to enjoy this beer with you on this episode. We'll talk more about this at the end of the show.
All right, Matt. So on to the subject at hand. We're talking about slashing our monthly utility bills. interestingly enough, I mean, we waste so much money on utilities that could be back in our pockets if we would be just a little more intentional about making our homes more energy efficient. And it's important for us to look at the payback time of any potential energy saving steps we might take. And some of these steps that we're going to talk about, they're a touch more labor intensive, and other steps that we're going to talk about in order to make your home more energy efficient, well, they're super simple and you could probably tackle them in an hour, not even a weekend, right? Like you could do something really quickly, but it's really important because these are changes that we can make that don't just save us like $5 today, but they might be able to save us $5 a month for the coming years if we make that small change to our energy usage. And so, yeah, I think this is an interesting topic to cover.
Yeah, Joel, like you said, we're going to cover sort of a range of different things that you can do to make your home more energy efficient. Things that would be easy to do if you even if you lived in an apartment or if you rented a house, like things that would have an immediate payback. And then also to, yeah, like you said, like to bigger things that might take a little bit longer. But we're going to kind of cover the spectrum of the different kind of projects that you can do to make your home a little more energy efficient. But before we even actually dive into the tips, right? Like, I think it's important to ask ourselves, why does this even matter? It's not just about taking care of the earth and, you know, the money that you're saving right now, but Joel, like you said, like the money moving forward, right? And even beyond that, the potential for what that money could grow into if you invested that money every month. Don't forget the rule of 173, right? Where you can take a monthly expense and multiply it by 173, and that's what you could have in 10 years if you were to reduce a monthly expense and instead invest that, right? So say you were able to cut a monthly expense by $75. You take that $75 every month, invest it. In 10 years, you're looking at a solid $13,000, man. That is a lot of money.
That is, yeah, for sure.
And so even beyond that, say you're able to cut a bunch of bills, right? If you're able to reduce some monthly bills, some monthly utilities by $250 a month, in 10 years, you're looking at $43,000. That's like a whole lot of money. So just keep in mind that recurring monthly expenses have a huge impact on your ability to save for the future.
Yeah. And we talked about that rule of 173 in our just general cutting monthly bills episode that we did a while back.
Oh, that's right.
And so we talked about, you know, cutting cable, internet, all these sorts of things that can help you in how much you're spending every single month. And that rule of 173 is just a great thing to kind of grab onto and kind of to do some basic math that helps you see how much money you could put back in your pocket if you invested that money, like you said, as opposed to spending it on whatever you're spending it on that month. And we talked a little bit about our monthly utility bills, but we didn't go into how you can actually dramatically reduce those bills. And so, yeah, let's get into that now. Let's first kind of talk about electricity, right?
Power.
The power bill. The power bill, the dreaded power bill every month. And I want to say one thing real quick when it comes to the power bill. I know there are a lot of utilities out there who will let you sign up for something called budget billing, which kind of takes into account the way that you've used power over the previous year and then gives you a level bill every single month. And I think, you know, that can be helpful for your budget. But for me, I don't like budget billing. And let me tell you why real quick. It's because I actually like seeing how much energy I've used, and particularly like in the summer months, if I have turned on the air conditioner more than I wanted to, I kind of like feeling the pain, getting that bill in the mail and seeing that I'm spending more money than I want to.
Yeah.
It changes my usage. It changes my habits. And so for me, that's why budget billing isn't as good, because I don't feel the pain in the same way. I like seeing the exact amount I used and how much it cost me.
Yeah. You know, actually in the research for this episode, I came across this thing called the Sense Energy Monitor. Have you heard of this thing or have you seen it?
No. What is it?
So it's this device that you clamp onto the sort of the main cables that go into your circuit breaker box, which sounds kind of intimidating, right? But it looks super easy. And what it does is in real time, it reads the actual amount of electricity that your house is drawing.
Ooh.
And it's integrated with an app on your phone, which is crazy to see real time the exact amount that, say, when your AC kicks on, you can watch it spike and then stay there. Or you can unplug everything in your house if you want to, and just with nothing else running, you can see how much power your fridge is actually drawing from the system, how much it's costing you. Totally fascinating. It's kind of expensive. It's like $200 or $300 or something.
Well, that sounds like a recipe for ruining my marriage.
Yeah.
Because I would be like constantly on the app measuring how much we're using, being like, turn off the AC.
I know. But I don't know. It looked super slick. It had amazing reviews on Amazon, and I totally spent way too much time reading about it and kind of checking it out. I might ask for one of these for Christmas or something like that. I thought it might be something totally up your alley as well.
Yeah, I know they have like those individual things that you can plug into your outlet.
Yeah, per socket.
Yeah, per socket. But yeah, something that's whole home.
Overall, the entire house.
That's what I want to know.
And I'm telling you, the interface was super slick, and it looked like you can chart it and kind of keep track of, you know, your history. I don't know. It looks super cool. Basically, like, I'm a big fan of running, and like, I've got Runkeeper. That's what I use, and it kind of keeps track of your runs and stuff like that. And you've got this history, and you got your numbers. But to be able to do that with your home electricity, yeah, I was totally nerding out on it, and might have to add that to the Christmas list.
Dude, that's awesome. I love it. All right, so let's get into some of the actual specific things that you can do to kind of keep that energy from spiking, the ways that you can cut back on your power usage in order to have a lower monthly bill. And, you know, the number one thing that you can do is actually by far the easiest thing, and that is to change your thermostat settings. 44% of the monthly costs of home utilities come from heating and cooling our home. And so the best way to get around that, right, is to change your actual thermostat settings. And, you know, most local utility providers say that you should keep your thermostat on 68 in the winter and 76 in the summer to prevent overusing. And that's totally true. I try to go just a little bit beyond that, more like 64 in the winter and like 77 in the summer. Summer's a little bit harder.
It can be difficult with the kids running around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's like sweating and pissed off. I'm with you though. We actually push 78 and we rock the ceiling fans pretty hard.
But there you go.
Yeah. 78 in the summer for us. And then in the winter, I think we do 67 during the day, but at night, that's where you got big savings right there, man.
Yeah.
I drop it down to 61 at night.
There you go. You're not going to get frostbite in 61. I mean, come on.
No, it's not going to happen. Yeah, 61, totally safe temperature to be at in the winter. But, you know, for power, again, in the summer months, utilize like your ceiling fans. Pretty much all homes have ceiling fans built in. If you have an older home, that might be something worth actually installing. If you don't have ceiling fans in your house, don't pull a Joel and get one of those like ceiling fans with the tiny blades on them that are totally ineffective.
Those things are worthless, man. And a waste of money.
But even if you aren't super DIY, you can just get even a table fan. For me, if I get hot, I have a fan that I can flip on, and I've got that pointed sitting right there for me at my desk, because guess what? For maybe close to 8 hours during the day, that's where I'm sitting. I'm sitting there working, and I'm able to keep myself perfectly happy and cool just with a little bit of air movement.
Yeah, ceiling fans are awesome. Attic fans. If anyone has an attic fan, make sure to use it. Matt, our first house had an attic fan and it was freaking awesome, man, because let's say in the spring where the temperature is 82 during the day, but it is, you know, 62 in the morning. When you first wake up, you can open up the windows, open up the door, and turn on your attic fan, and it sucks in all the cool air, cools down your home like 8 degrees in like 3 minutes. It's so nice, man. It just helps you to not have to use the AC nearly as much. I'm a huge proponent of attic fans.
Yeah, I've never lived in a house that had an attic fan, but anytime I've seen one of those in action, it kind of blows my mind.
All right, so now we need to ask a question, I guess, about thermostats. We just talked about setting your thermostat at different temperatures. Where do you come down on the smart thermostats that are kind of all the rage these days?
Man, I've got one. I'm a big fan of the Nest thermostats. You know, they work great. I think for a lot of folks who have a predictable schedule, though, they can not get the fancier Nest thermostat, right? Like, they've got different levels now. They got I think it's called the E-Nest, and then they have the Nest Learning. So the Nest Learning is the one that automatically will learn from your behavior and sort of where you set the thermostat and will create its own sort of schedule. But if you have a predictable schedule, you know that every day you're going to leave, you know, this time of the day to go to work. You don't really need the Learning thermostat, and you can save yourself. I think it's $100 cheaper to get the e-thermostat. And so it's basically a programmable thermostat that you can change on your phone at any point, but it's not learning. That's all you need, because you set the schedule, you set it and forget it, and you're good to go, man. And plus, it's just awesome to be able to, you know, turn down, say you forget to turn down the heat, you know, in the winter, or turn up the AC in the summer if you go on a trip, and to be able to hop on your phone and do that and not basically be stressed the entire time you're away thinking, dang it, I'm cooling my house for nothing, or I'm heating it for nothing. I love that.
Yeah, so I haven't made the transition to a smart thermostat.
You're just disciplined and actually turn it off before you leave, right?
Discipline might be one word. I would say probably anal. I'm like really, you know, I'm not anal about many things in life, but about the thermostat setting, I kind of am.
You're that roommate in college where would you do the thermostat battles with?
Yeah, probably. I was that guy, yeah. And so, yeah, at home, I'm pretty intentional about what we set it on. And when we kind of create a little bit more of a comfortable environment when we're all at home versus, you know, when I leave for work and we're kind of heading outdoors, bumping it up so that the AC isn't running, right? So I don't feel it necessarily the need to get a smart thermostat, but I think for a lot of people who aren't as diligent in setting their thermostat settings appropriately, then, you know, one of those kind of smart thermostats could be helpful. And especially because, like you said, you can remotely change those settings, which is great. Speaking of that, Matt, so, you know, we just talked about budget billing, and that's something that a lot of electricity providers offer. A lot of power companies also give you the choice to do a time of use electricity plan, and they incentivize you to use your electricity at certain times of the day, pretty much like the off-peak times that most people exactly. aren't using it. And you are on one of those plans. So how's that working out for you guys?
Yeah, it really has worked out for us. And what's good to mention there is that it's only for 3 or 4 months out of the summer. Like, so it starts, I don't even think it starts in May. I think it starts in June. I think it's like June, July, and August, maybe September as well.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like the sort of summer hot months. But it's only for those 3 or 4 months out of the year. And like you said, they incentivize you to use less electricity during the peak hours of the day. And that's basically like from 9 to 6 or something like that. Or maybe it's 7. I forget. I don't know, because I've got it set on my thermostat and I don't even really think about it, right? But
so that means that your air doesn't kick on at all between those hours?
No, it's on, but we keep it a little bit warmer.
Okay.
Right? So in the summer months, it's a little bit warmer. And then once we break into that zone, that period of time when the cost drops, that's when it kind of kicks on. So it's a little bit warmer in our house. We're a little more dependent on ceiling fans, table fans, things like that. But then I think it's 7 o'clock for Georgia Power. Once that time hits, our AC drops a degree or two and the house gets cooler. And for us, I think, man, it saved us close to like 10 to 15% of our power bill. And that's kind of averaged over the course of the year. But yeah, it is 10 times less expensive in those off-peak hours. And so in particular, if you get home from work a lot later, or you know that you can do your laundry, run the dryer in the evening, or especially say if you work the night shift or something like that, right? If you have a schedule that's reverse of most folks where you're kind of sleeping during the day and not doing much, but then at night, that's kind of when you wake up and kind of start your life. But there are some big savings that could be had there.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Matt. My sister just switched over to Google Fi from like a traditional cell phone carrier. Mm-hmm. And she's become so much more cognizant of the data that she's using. It seems very similar to one of these kind of time of use electricity plans, because you're just way more thoughtful about the energy you're using when you're directly seeing the impact a whole heck of a lot more. And she's kind of become that same way. Like, she's very thoughtful about, you know what? I can wait to look that up. I can wait to check my email. I can wait to watch that YouTube video, because I know that I'm paying for every single tenth of a gig of data. And we talked about Google Fi, you know, back in the day about, and still it's one of the best cell phone providers out there, but it's kind of one of those things where it's going to help you realize how much data you're actually using.
Right.
And I think that can usually, typically, be a good thing to kind of put that in front of our faces.
Let's talk about LED bulbs. You've got these in your house, I know for sure.
Man, LED bulbs are truly, besides the thermostat settings, they're probably the next greatest thing you can do in order to kind of curb electricity usage at your house. And in particular, the first thing would be to replace the most used lights in your house with LED bulbs. It's great to make it an eventual goal to have all of the light bulbs in your house as LED bulbs. But if you just have a few lamps or a few overhead lights in your house that you use, you know, 90% of the time that you feel like are usually typically turned on, replacing those with LED bulbs is going to result in a major savings, especially because LED bulbs have become so much cheaper these days. You can even at times find them for close to $1 a bulb.
Yeah. They used to be like $20 a bulb.
Yes.
Like right when they first came out, it's like, man, those bulbs are on sale for $30 each. Like, what a deal.
And when they first came out, the light wasn't very great from LED bulbs.
Yeah, that's true.
It was kind of that like tacky blue light or whatever. And now there's much warmer colors available in LED bulbs that you can find out there at the stores. And so, yeah, especially if you're looking, I know you're not a fan of this, Matt, but buy them at Costco. And
hey, nothing against Costco, just haven't really joined the cult yet. All so right. Yeah, that episode still to come.
Yeah, we'll make that happen. But buying in bulk from a warehouse club is a great way to get a lower cost on those LED bulbs. And those typically use 90% less energy than a traditional bulb does, which is insane. That's a big difference.
Yeah, that's insane. Anytime you hear a 90% return on anything, like, that's something you want to go for, right?
And not available typically in the investing world, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. And so typically what that means is over the course of the lifetime of that bulb, you're looking at, on average, $80 in savings. And each one of those bulbs, on average, will last about 15 times longer than a traditional incandescent bulb.
All right, Matt, another big energy suck in a lot of homes is having old appliances. And I'm not the kind of guy that would suggest getting rid of the fridge in your kitchen in order to get a new one that would, quote unquote, save you on energy, right?
We'll talk more about that later, but that's typically not a recipe that ends in you saving a lot of money.
Right. It's like buying that new Prius because it's going to save you on gas. You know, usually that's a flawed way of thinking about it. But let's say you have a secondary fridge, a beer fridge, as some might say, and probably how I would use a secondary fridge.
Not that you have one.
Not that I have one.
No.
But getting rid of that secondary fridge that's in the garage or wherever, and particularly if it's in a garage and it gets warmer and it has to use more energy in order to stay cool, you're talking about like a lot of money every year that this secondary fridge is costing you. And older refrigerators are notorious for using a lot of energy. And you know what? Your local utility company might even offer you an incentive to donate that fridge, to get rid of it, to give it to them. And so it's worth it too, as you're thinking through some of these things, to actually check out your local utility's website. There might be incentives to do a lot of these things. They might even offer a deal for you to get a new programmable thermostat at a reduced rate.
Yeah, jump on those rebates, man.
Yeah, tons of those rebates on your local utility's website. So it's definitely worth checking that out.
And while we're talking about fridges, Joel, you also want to make sure that you're taking care of your fridge. And what I mean by that is that you want to clean the coils on your fridge or freezer to keep it working efficiently and properly. Most fridges, a lot of times, there's like that little plastic grate at the bottom. And what you want to do is just pop that off and take a look up under there and tell me what you see. Because if this doesn't sound familiar at all to you, or this is something that you haven't done, you are in for a treat, because there's going to be so much junk up under there. Typically, you want to do this maybe close to once a year to kind of keep all the dust and junk and food, whatever gets kind of kicked up under the fridge.
It's going to look like there's a squirrel living in your fridge when you pop it off
like
initially.
The hairiest squirrel of all time.
So in the same way, cleaning the coils on your fridge is essential to that fridge running well. It's like changing the filter, and which we're going to talk about, in your HVAC unit every few months, right? To keep it running at optimum condition. And that's going to ensure that your fridge, you know, lasts for as long as it's supposed to. And at the same time, you know, keep those cooling costs down.
You know, there's other things you can do. Make sure you're cleaning your lint filter when it comes to using your dryer. Also, use those dryer balls. You guys use those? The wool balls that you throw in there?
Nope.
Dude, again, I was reading about those and kind of geeking out. We're totally going to get some of those. They cut down on how long it takes for your clothes to dry because they kind of spread the clothes out as they bounce around. And they evidently work as a natural fabric softener as well. So you can save money that way as well.
You know what else they say about dryers? Do your drying batches back to back to back so the dryer doesn't cool down and have to heat all the way back up.
I like it, man. That's so smart. And even consider air drying your clothes, right? It's a little more old school, but you can also save a ton of money that way. And it's better for your clothes as well.
All right, another interesting thing to watch out for when it comes to your power bill is this thing called vampire electronics, which is kind of a cool name, but but really keeping your computers and TVs plugged in constantly, what can cost you, and even if your TV's not on or your computer is plugged in and charging, but whatever, it's 100% charged, you don't think that it's actually costing you money to continue to have it plugged in. Well, in all likelihood, it is. And so the best way around vampire electronics and them sucking money out of your wallet as they're plugged into the outlet is to have that on a power strip. And that way, once your computer is fully charged, or when you're not using, let's say, your TV, and interestingly enough, a culprit of this is often like a cable box, so that even if you're not like watching cable, if you don't have your TV turned on, it can be sucking electricity out even though you're not using it. And so a power strip, turning it off when you're not using it and then powering it back on, it might be a little bit of an inconvenience, it might be a little bit annoying, but it can save you money.
So vampire electronics, that phrase, you know, immediately made me think of, for some reason,
Vampire Weekend?
No.
Oh.
Although that maybe would have been more hip.
Great band.
What was Bunnicula? Did you ever read that book as a kid?
No.
It was this rabbit that was like this vampire rabbit, and it sucked all the life or the blood out of vegetables, and they turned white.
That totally sounds like a book you would have read as a kid.
Yeah, why not, right? Anyway, after the break, we're going to talk about some more ways that you can save money when it comes to your utilities. We're going to specifically talk about your gas bill.
All right, Matt, we're back. We just talked about cutting your monthly electricity bill. Now let's talk about cutting your gas bill. And not everyone across the country uses the same kind of gas. You know, we down here in the South use natural gas. up in the Northeast, there's a lot of home heating oil that's used. But I think there are some common things that we share in ways that we can actually cut those bills, right? And so again, like those thermostat settings are important in the winter, and putting on layers and blankets are really important in order to be able to keep your house at a lower temperature, therefore saving you money when it comes to the heating element that you're using.
Yeah, and when we were talking about power, we talked about the low end of the thermostat, right? How at night I set our thermostat at 61, and you know, we've got little kids.
Are you wearing like three Snuggies or what?
No, I won't share exactly how I sleep, but it's pretty minimal.
Okay, all right.
But our girls, I think some folks might have heard what I said earlier about, you know, it being 61. But we do keep an electric radiator heater in the girls' room. And the way that we're able to control and make sure that they are at a safe temperature and are sleeping well is that we actually have a thermometer that is in the bathroom that borders their room with a little sensor that goes through the wall. I just drilled a hole into the wall. The little sensor pops out and it measures the temperature in the girl's room. And so what that means, man, is that we're able to let the temperature in our house get pretty dang cold at night, like we were talking about, but we can check in on that and see where the temperature is in their room without even going in there. And so that allows us to save a lot of money when it comes to gas and targeting that specific room. All three of our girls are in that room sleeping, and we keep the temperature in the room at a solid 68. You know, it ranges. The safe temperature for us is between like 67 and like 72 is perfectly fine for the kiddos.
Yeah, I feel like most people don't consider the prospect of individually heating or cooling rooms. And I think that's such an important thing to think about, because most of the time we're spending a lot of our evenings in one or two rooms, or we don't want our kids to be cold. And so we bump up the temperature of the entire household,
right,
so that we can keep our kids warm in their rooms. For me, I feel like I'm overheated if we keep the temp anything above 66. But I want my girls to be warmer than I am because I just can't handle that much heat.
Well, that's because they're kiddos, right? Like, they don't know to wake up and kind of pull the comforter up and warm themselves. We've got young kids. And so the thing is, though, once you get your house warm, you want to make sure that that heat stays inside the house. So we're going to talk now about some weather stripping and caulk. Like, when it comes to older houses in particular, man, like, that is such an important step that you can take to make sure that you don't have actual drafts of cold air coming through your walls, coming through your windows in the winter. You can buy this sort of ugly window wrap that goes over your windows and kind of use the hairdryer to kind of shrink wrap it. Looks a lot like Saran wrap, but for your windows.
It's ugly, but for windows that you don't open very often, it can actually work and can save you money for
sure. Yeah. Have you ever used that before?
I had, when we bought our house, we had it on a couple windows.
Nice.
And it made a huge difference. Yeah. We kept it on for that winter, but then decided that we don't really want to re-put it back on every winter.
Yeah.
But no, it does make a big difference.
Yeah. It's kind of unsightly. A similar option, though, is you can use this. It's called seal and peel. It's like this removable caulk. And so if you know you've got old windows, like on our old house, there are windows that I can stand next to and literally see the ground without anything obstructing my sight, but like between the two sashes, like between the panes of glass. And the seal and peel caulk, it goes on, but it's not meant to be permanent. And so if you want to open that window in the spring when the temperature starts getting a little bit warmer before it gets too hot, you just peel that off and you can pop open your window. It's great stuff.
That's nice. You know, Matt, I feel like a lot of people quickly go to replacing windows or doing, you know, major renovations in order to make their house feel more comfortable. And new windows are nice, but they're really expensive.
Yeah.
And they also aren't going to save you quite as much energy, I don't think, as you thought they would. And some of these kind of interim things, some of these smaller things that you can do, like the peel and seal caulk, are a way to save a lot of money on your monthly energy bills to make your house feel more comfortable without spending a lot of money.
That's right. Like, yeah, new windows, even though they might be double or even triple paned, it's still glass. And so the R value on those windows is significantly lower than the insulation and the wall that you have in the, you know, the siding, like all the layers that you have on a regular wall are vastly superior to your window. So the fact is, if you have a window and you want to have a nice view to your yard and natural light coming into your room, like, fact is, it's going to be less efficient than if you didn't have windows. But what's key here is that you remove drafts so that you can remove air flowing in and out of your house when you don't want it, in particular in the winter when that cold air wants to get inside your house.
And specifically blackout curtains, like big thick curtains, can have a major effect in kind of preventing those drafts from coming through and making your house feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, it creates that insulating layer right there in front of the glass. So make sure you close those at night.
Yeah, Matt, and one thing I've got some experience with is insulating an attic. That's huge. That's one of the number one ways that you can cut down on your heating and cooling costs is by having an attic that has proper insulation in it. This is something that you can DIY. You don't have to hire this out. And even if you did, it's not terribly expensive. But it's not really that hard to do in particular. like blow-in insulation. I'm not talking about the spray and foam, but I'm talking about the blow-in.
Like cellulose.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But yeah, my buddy Jay and I did it in just a couple hours. And, you know, he was kind of feeding in the cellulose stuff. And I had this long hose and I was up in the attic and spraying it. And we would kind of go back and forth and take the other person's job. It was kind of fun. And really, ultimately, you know, it cut down on the heating and cooling costs. So it's something you can do in just, you know, a Saturday morning. And it's something that often, like I said, we talked about how energy providers will pay you money to perform some of these energy saving techniques to your home. And that was something that my energy provider, I want to say they paid for almost 50%
really?
Of the cost
it's
of
like
that.
A sweet rebate that was going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, it was really nice. Good. So yeah, it's something to look into as well.
And while we're on the topic of insulating, you can insulate your water heater and your pipes as well. That way you're using less energy there. And if your house has a pull-down attic, you know, with like the stairs, right, that kind of allows you to walk up through the ceiling, those are notorious spots for energy leaks. And so you can insulate those with these big foam blocks that kind of go on top of it. Or they've got this thing called an attic tent where it sort of seals the hole. You walk up the steps and then you unzip it, ET style, you know, like kind of go through the radioactive hatch. And that's a great way to save on your energy costs, especially in the winter when it comes to your heat.
Yeah, one interesting thing to consider is getting a home energy audit, and lots of local utility companies offer free audits in person. And if not, at least lots of times they'll have an online version. And if your local utility doesn't offer something like that, well, the U.S. Department of Energy has some online tools that can kind of help you gauge where your energy loss is coming from. So that can kind of be helpful in at least seeing, you know, where most of your dollars are escaping essentially out of these crevices in your doors and floors and windows and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Joel, I mean, that's one of the biggest categories of an energy audit, right? Is to see where is air getting in or out of your house. And, you know, you can kind of do that yourself as well. You can DIY it by closing all your doors, right? All of your exterior doors, getting a stick of incense or a few sticks, whatever, but then flip on all of your interior exhaust fans. So if you have a hood over your range, you know, any bathroom fans that suck air out of the house, and essentially what you're doing is creating a vacuum. So that air has to get into your house somewhere, and it's going to come from the path of least resistance. And so you take that stick of incense, you light it, and you go near the windows where you think you might have some air leaks. And anywhere you see sort of that, you know, that smooth line of smoke that should be going up like it normally would, you know, you start to see that smoke kind of disrupted. Well, you know that even though if you can't feel it, that's where you've got air coming in. And you can look for ways to seal those gaps. For me, I don't need to light a stick of incense. In the winter, man, I can just stand in front of windows, and when the wind blows, I can feel it. So so our old crappy windows have a long way to go.
Yeah, man, these old homes, kind of drafty, right? all right, so another thing that you need to consider is furnace maintenance, changing your filters like a few times a year at minimum. And if you have pets, you might want to consider replacing your filters like every other month. Because you know what's expensive? Well, filters are a little expensive. But what's more expensive is your furnace not running efficiently. And then on top of that, in all likelihood, the fewer years that you're going to get out of that furnace. So being able to kind of extend the life of your HVAC system by replacing the filters as often as you should, that's going to be one of the best things that you can do in order to save energy every month.
Yeah, Joel, you know, another way that we can get our natural gas or energy costs down is by lowering the temperature on your water heater. You know, by default, it's typically set at a temperature that will give you water that's about 140 degrees. But you can turn that down a little bit. You can take that down to 120, which is still plenty hot for your dishwasher or the other needs you might have. And, you know, that can easily save you $50 right there.
Washing your clothes in cold tap water when you can is the best way to save money on water heating costs too. And speaking of water, Matt, we're going to get to ways to reduce your water usage that are easy to understand and pretty cheap to implement right after the break.
All right, Joel, let's round this thing out now with water, agua. The biggest way that you can save in your water bill is to choose to have a yard that doesn't require lots of water, or honestly, any at all. So much of your monthly water bill can go towards watering the grass that's surrounding your house, when in reality, that's something you could totally forego. And the problem with watering your yard too is that a lot of municipalities, the way they bill water is that you get billed a certain rate for the water that you use, but you also get billed for sewer as well, because they assume water that you're using is going down the drain. And so obviously, when you're watering your yard, that water isn't going back into the water treatment plant.
But you're paying for it.
Yeah. Exactly. And so that's why water can be so expensive when it comes to watering your lawn, I will admit we have personal experience with this because after renovating our house a little bit here, we totally chewed up the backyard and we wanted to get some grass, some rye grass, some clover. We wanted to get all that seeded and started and going. That way we have a nice quote unquote lawn back there. You know, just we want it to be green for them to play on. But that takes some water. And Joel, I saw our water bill shoot from basically $60 a month up to $180. So basically three times what we've normally been paying just to turn the water on for 5 or 6 minutes, you know, every other day in the back, just so that seed can get started.
Eesh. Yeah, that stinks. Yeah, that's where rain barrels can come in handy if you kind of attach those to a downspout and then you can water, let's say you have a small garden or you are trying to grow some grass in the back, like a rain barrel can be a huge way to capture that water. In order to avoid using, you know, a spigot or a sprinkler in order to water your lawn. Another way to kind of save water, like a couple of really big ways, are to install low flow toilets in your house. And they make them of all different shapes and sizes, and they've gotten a lot better than they used to be. I think when low flow toilets kind of first came on the market, people were like,
you had to flush them twice.
Yeah. And it totally defeated the purpose. Yeah,
exactly.
They just weren't good.
Yeah, they weren't that great.
And now they've gotten actually pretty decent.
Yeah. The design's a lot better on them.
Yeah. And so in the same way where we talked about power companies offering you rebates for doing certain things to make your home more energy efficient, well, a lot of local water companies will actually pay for the cost of an inexpensive low flow toilet if you'll install it, or an inexpensive low flow shower head. So those are really good ways where you might be able to save water every single month and you're not even paying for the cost of the toilet or shower head that actually helps you get there.
Yeah, it just takes a little bit of elbow grease. And honestly, once you install the toilet once, you realize it's not that complicated. It's one of those things.
It sounds hard, but it's really not that bad.
Yeah, it really isn't. So here for us locally, the rebate was $100. And there were some select toilets that you could get for $100. So literally, they were paying for the cost of the toilet. And all you had to do was just swap it out. And you get that rebate. And all of a sudden, you've got a brand new toilet, white and shiny, and you're also saving a lot of money when it comes to your water bill.
Oh, you didn't get the gold toilet? Like, oh, no, those are the nice ones. That's what you should get.
I prefer biscuit. Like, the whoever gets those, right?
Off-white?
Like, yeah, like the super off-white or like the kind of brown-colored ones. They're like biscuit or bisque. I don't know.
But you know what?
I'm not a fan personally, but maybe folks are. But another approach too, if you don't have that rebate, is to adopt the old saying, if it's yellow, let it mellow.
People are going to think we're weird for saying that.
But no, man, I've got three kids, and if they're all flushing the toilet every time the toilet is used, that is a lot of water that's getting flushed down that we're paying for. And so we've trained our girls to not flush the toilet unless it's number two.
I worry about my kids like going to school. I'm like, are the teachers like, why aren't they flushing the toilet? I haven't gotten any feedback.
Yeah,
but
we've had this discussion before. This is an ongoing discussion that you and I have about our girls.
But it makes me think about our conversation with Chris and Christy from Life Opted Out about living in a van. And they talked about their experience of traveling to India and what it's like to kind of use the bathroom over there. And the fact that we have running water, we have indoor plumbing, we have toilets at our disposal. Oftentimes we have two or three in our house. Yeah. It's
leads to quite the sophisticated, genteel life that we have, right?
Yeah. And so like the idea of letting your pee just sit there in the toilet and not flushing it down sounds ridiculous probably to a lot of people, but just think about it from a slightly different perspective. And think about the way most of the world goes to the bathroom and how easy we have it. And then think to yourself, like, can I actually just like pee a couple of times in the toilet before I hit the flush button? It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. Think about too, if you go to a festival or a concert, right? Like, where do you go? Like, it's the porta potties. And, you know, letting it mellow for a little bit in your own house in a clean toilet is way, way better than a porta potty. I mean, come on. Like, if you can handle that, if you can handle a porta potty or a Johnny on the spot or whatever you call them, wherever you live, you can handle just letting it mellow for a little bit. Another way that you can save water is to consider taking shorter showers. And this is one that's going to be tougher for me, Joel, because I do a lot of good thinking when I'm in the shower. Like something about my mind, it like deactivates and disengages from the normal things I'm supposed to think about. And I find that I'm honestly the most creative and I come up with fun ideas and cool stuff when I'm taking a shower. But if you can take a shorter shower, you're going to be able to save a lot of money.
All right. So what about the more expensive upgrades? We kind of talked quickly about how, you know, replacing windows is an expensive endeavor and it might make your house, you know, feel a little more comfortable and it will also lower your energy bills. But it's one of those things that's really expensive to do. And so it's something that you should really only consider if you're doing it for you, not if you're doing it for the energy and money savings attached to it. Well, take solar, for instance. Solar can be similar to the thought of replacing your windows. It can just be a really long payback period. You know, in some parts of the country, based on some of the government incentives that we have right now, in particular, the federal government is offering a 30% tax rebate on solar installations through the end of the year. Well, if you really nerd out on energy usage, then that incentive might be the thing that pushes you over to the edge to actually install solar at your home. But you have to realize that even with that incentive, even with that rebate, it's still going to be, in all likelihood, more than a decade, potentially close to two decades, in order to see that investment pay back.
That's right, Joel. So you got to keep that in mind, right? Replacing your perfectly good appliances with ones that are more energy efficient, right? If you have a water heater that works perfectly fine, or an HVAC, or windows, and you're doing that just to save that money, well, it's not really going to work unless you're planning to stay there for maybe 10 or 20 years. Really, the most impactful changes that you can have on your monthly utilities is by behavior modification. It's certainly the cheapest option, and that's because you can't always buy or purchase your way to fix a problem, right? Like, you can't spend money to become more efficient a lot of the times. Often it takes being a little more diligent, being maybe a little more disciplined, or changing your behavior to truly save money.
Yeah, I think it's important to make sure that we mention that some of these things you need to do on a regular cycle, like changing your filters,
or like that maintenance, right?
Cleaning those refrigerator coils, whatever it is. And so putting those things actually on your calendar in repeat fashion so that you remember to do them. Because if I don't associate changing my filters with a specific date on my calendar, then the chances of it getting done are pretty much non-existent.
Not going to happen.
And so, any way that you can kind of put it in front of your face, any way that you can help remind yourself that it needs to be done and to put it on a schedule, that's going to help you actually take these steps as opposed to just kind of hearing them in one ear and letting it go out the other.
That's right, Joel. I couldn't agree more, man. Let's go ahead now and get back to this beer. Challenge series number 11. This is a Double Brute IPA donated to us by Bear Republic. So thank you guys so much out there in California. Joel, let me hear your thoughts on this one.
Yeah, Bear Republic has been making beers for quite a long time, and they make some really good ones out there. And this one in particular was, man, fascinating because, like you said at the beginning of the show, I think I've only had one Brute IPA before, and it's kind of a newer style of IPA that, in essence, tries to capture a little bit of what's going on in a champagne, in a Brute champagne. And it really does have this really interesting hop sweetness on the beginning that transitions into this dryness on the back end that you would get when drinking some sort of a Brut champagne. And I love how beers can just taste completely different than anything you've ever tasted before. And this is an IPA like I've never had. So it was, fun to drink this one today.
Yeah, I'm hoping some breweries around us start making like this style, because I could totally see this working out well here in the South when it gets crazy hot in the summer. Like, what do you want? Do you want something that really hits you with a lot of flavor a lot of times? Or are you looking for something that's really clean? And to me, this drink's really clean, really dry. It reminds me a lot of sort of a dry gin martini. You sort of got those floral, maybe even like juniper notes, but there's not that sweetness there on the back end. It does finish kind of dry.
All right, James Bond.
Extra fancy.
Nicely done. Well, that's going to be it for this show, my friend. So hopefully this episode, Matt, challenges all of us to be a little more thoughtful in how we look to conserve energy in our houses. I think there are some easy wins that we can get. And I think it's helpful for us to think through these things. Not all of these things are going to apply to you. Not all of these things are going to apply to everyone. And especially if you're living in an apartment, right? You're not going to install solar panels. You're not going to change out windows.
Right.
But there are these little things that you can do, even if you don't own the house, in order to make these changes to save yourself some money when it comes to your energy bills.
So Joel, I think that's going to be it for this episode. You can check out our show notes over at howtomoney.com, and we'll have some links over there with some of the things that we talked about on this episode.
Yeah, and if you have found this podcast helpful, man, we'd appreciate a review from you on Apple Podcasts. And you know what? If you think that we've got room to grow and get better, send us an email at howtomoney.com/dobetter.
That's right. We'd love to hear from you. So Joel,
until next time, buddy.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.